coming up on the Movie Review Crew podcast.
Have any of you seen the trailer for that Beast movie with Idris Elba?
Yes.
He fist fights a big ass lion.
Definitely.
What's going on in the world today with these movies that are coming out?
Okay, but hear me out. Idris Elba fist fights a lion. See, it's all in how you say it, because you said it like,
that's true.
Hell, and I was saying that's it like, true. Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You just gotta flip that switch in your brain, Aaron, and just buy it.
Good people who have traveled from villages near and far, lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty? What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in everybody to another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'll be your host today, Shane Cronikin. We've got a full cast today, starting with Steve Rushlaw.
How's it going?
Nate Dudley.
Hello.
And Aaron Cronikin.
Hello.
So we have a fun episode. We will be reviewing the new Netflix action thriller, The Gray Man. This is Steve's pick, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we'll be reviewing that. But before we get into that, Steve, it's been a while since you've been on, so let's start with you. What have you seen, I guess, recently? Any new movies?
Let me pull up my list real quick. I'd Does say
it go, you know, Dylon, Dylon,
yes.
Dylon, Dylon.
It has been a while since I've been on. I'll just start with the one movie that I think is worth sharing. Most likely going to be in my top 10 this year. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yeah.
I watched it last week. It's a blast of a movie. Some of the fight scenes are really well done. I'm not sure where on my top 10 it's going to be, but if you haven't seen it, I say definitely check it out. It's $5.99 on Prime right now. So there's that. I've been watching two TV shows as well. I started season one of Stranger Things. I actually finished it. I kept telling the guys, I told the guys at work, I don't know why I waited so long to watch Stranger Things.
So this is not a rewatch. This is your initial viewing.
This is my initial viewing.
Okay.
I guess when Mike was watching and he kept talking about it, I was like, yeah, this is stupid. It seems kiddie.
But, you know, it must be in the minority because I know I am. It's a friggin' most popular show ever, but I tried and could not get through. First of all, Winona Ryder, I can't watch her. Just can't.
I have an issue with her as well.
And second, like, if I'm going to spend my very valuable, very rare time where children aren't screaming, I'm not watching little kids. I will watch anything but little kids.
What is wrong
rolling around little kids fighting monsters or whatever the hell they're doing?
Dude, Aaron's had to get that off his chest forever.
Is McNeil in here? Is this, what's going on?
Let me throw this one out there. The Monster Squad. Okay. How about...
That's 2 hours long. I don't have to dedicate half my life to watch 8 seasons of just come on, show the aliens, let them do things, kill them, end of the story.
I'm not with Aaron on this. I enjoyed season one.
Nobody agrees with Aaron.
There's a lot of things I don't think a lot of people agree with Aaron, but
the only person that agrees with Aaron on everything is Clint Eastwood's character from Gran Torino.
Gran Torino. Get off my lawn.
A grumpy, angry old man.
Listen, unless the twist at the very end of it is all their angry, alcoholic, small-town parents created these aliens to kidnap and kill their children anyways, I'm on board.
I mean, that'd be a hell of a twist. I'd buy into that. It's dark, but...
I started season two last night. Definitely enjoyable. My plan was to watch more movies this weekend, but I got called in for a service call yesterday and was busy. It was terrible.
Naughty.
You were called in for
service calls.
I serviced your mom.
Got him.
But the other show I've been watching is on HBO Max. It's called Barry. It has Bill Hader. He's a former military.
Let me tell you why I hate that show.
He's a former military guy turned hitman, and it's dry ass Bill Hader doing comedy, and I've enjoyed it. And the thing with that thing, the episodes are only 20 minutes long, 25 minutes long, so I can literally finish one season in a day because there's only like 8 episodes in it, and I finished all 3. It's interesting to still see Bill Hader in a more of a serious role, kind of like a psychopath.
So like an action type deal, since he's...
So it has some action scenes in it where he's just shooting people, killing people.
Huh.
There's some pretty good scenes in it. But he does have, he's kind of has his, it's dry humor for him.
Has he done anything other than, I mean, like where he was a main player? All I know is SNL.
I don't think so. I think this is, I mean, he's won, I think, a couple Emmys for the show. He's very good.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's,
and like I said, they're only 25 minutes long for each episode. So to me, it was, oh, hey, throw 25 minutes on and then I'm done.
Yeah.
It went by pretty fast.
Yeah, those are always a lot easier.
That's what I've seen.
Dudley, what have you seen? Anything since last week or the last time you were on?
Yeah, I watched Leave No Trace with Ben Foster.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
McKenzie.
That's a good one.
And yeah, I actually just watched that today and really enjoyed it. And then I finished Terminal List. Which
I'm curious to see what Aaron thought of that, because if I remember right, when you brought it up last time, he was really excited to just go out and see it, because he's Aaron's super into, like, you know, gung-ho tough guy military stuff.
Especially Chris Pratt,
man. And Chris Pratt, he's my favorite most talented Hollywood Chris.
Yeah, definitely.
Who is your, if you could pick one Chris, who would it be, and why is it Chris Pratt, Aaron?
It's Chris Pine, because he's got talent.
No, he said, why isn't Chris Pratt? I'm sure I potential spoiler alert. I feel like we're going to get some more Chris hate as we review The Gray Man from Aaron, because I know he is a huge fan of Chris Evans as well.
Dudley, what did you think of The Terminal List? Because I've heard really good things about it.
I did thoroughly enjoy it overall.
I did hear that they're like hour 15 episodes. They're really long.
Yeah, and I thought it was pieced together pretty well, and a lot of stuff happening in it, which I did enjoy. I can possibly agree with Aaron that it may have been different if there's a different badass.
I was just gonna help.
Did he actually say the line that I keep hearing in the commercials? Don't want to be on my list. How many times did he say that?
Well, okay, he said, like I told you before, you better stay off my list.
Oh my god.
And then shivers gets right down your body. So, like,
another scene then where the guy was like, I don't care if I'm on your list, and then he just pulls out a pen and like clicks it, and he's like, you want me to write on my list?
That would have been a badass.
And the guy's like, go ahead, I don't care. And he's like, I'm gonna write it.
Is the end of it Chris Pratt, like in Billy Madison, putting on lipstick, crossing names off of his list, like the weirdo dude?
He didn't do lipstick, but he did do blood on one of them.
No, like, my god!
It's like,
I need to see this.
And I was like,
no, he has an actual physical list?
Yeah, I mean, how else would he remember? It's literally the show, Aaron. It's called The Terminal List.
There's a physical list. Okay,
there's a list, dude.
Amazing. Yeah, he keeps a daily planner.
Yeah, and he just crosses them off.
He just goes house to house, door to door. What's your name? And just the big ass list.
He's like, Susan, you messed with my garden again. And she's like, no.
There's a Christmas episode where he's got a Santa hat on. He's like, I got my list. I'm checking it twice.
Oh my god.
See, I'm saying there's some
good one-liners. We could be show writers here.
Aaron, or I guess, have you seen anything else, Dudley?
Sorry, those are the two notable ones since last week.
Okay, so Aaron, then what have you seen?
I've seen five. I'll touch two briefly. One called Here Before, which was kind of an intriguing It's got Andrea Riseborough, who is always good. And the premise was that this little girl moves in next door with her family and knows things that only her deceased daughter would know. So she's convinced that something's going on. I was expecting some weird, like, twisty supernatural type of thing, but it ended up being really stupid. So skip it. Another movie called She Will, which is a British gothic horror movie that was okay. It's a kind of a witch tale that was more artsy than entertaining. And then the three big ones, I saw The Black Phone, which is the horror movie, came out earlier this year. I think Stephen King's son wrote it, the novel. Man, the more I think about it, the more I hated it. It's really, really stupid. And they try to make you forget about it with, like, you know, flashy editing and interesting killer character that I hated it so much.
Was it because of the kid?
No, the main kid was fine. Every other child actor in it was horrendous, but the main kid was fine enough, but it just holes in the progression of the plot. And why would you do that? And then why would you not follow it up with something just really stupid stuff? I don't want to spoil anything, but the more I thought about it, my God, this is dumb. So I was really disappointed because I thought it'd be good. And I thought Ethan Hawke would be in it a lot more than he was. So that was disappointing. The other one I watched was The Forgiven, which is the new one by McDonough. I can't remember his name. One of the McDonough guys. He did Calvary and The Guard, which we all liked when we saw it. Anyways, it was fine.
John Michael.
Yes, because Martin's the other one. Martin's the old guy that did In Bruges. Anyways, yeah, it's fine. Worth a watch, but not great. And then
How was your boy Caleb Landry Jones?
Hardly in it.
Really?
Very disappointing.
Huh.
Yeah, he's just kind of a side character. He had three lines thrown in there. So lastly, I watched the Bob's Burgers movie finally, which I mean, it's just basically an extended
episode.
Yeah. Hour and a half long episode. So it's fine. But overall, kind of a disappointing week and a half-ish. Movies that I wanted to see and was excited about that didn't live up to the expectations.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I have not seen any movie. I take that back. So for the listeners, I kind of want to give a background of why I watch this movie. We, all of us here at the Movie Review Crew, play a game on framed.wtf, and it gives you, it's basically a play on Wordle where it'll give you images from a movie and then you have to guess which movie it is. And all of us are playing that and keeping track of our scores. Well, in the first month that we did it, I lost, meaning the winner, in this case, Aaron, gets to choose a horrendous movie for me to watch and review. And I haven't finished it yet, so I don't have a full review. But I get the pleasure and the privilege of watching Monster Hunters from 2020. It's from Asylum, I believe it is, that makes basically these just
rip-offs.
No budget ripoffs of huge blockbusters. This one, I use the term stars very loosely, but it stars Tom Sizemore and then a bunch of nobodies. But so far, I'll be honest. I mean, it's horrible, but it's not like... I hate watching it horrible. It's just like no budget. This is crap horrible, which kind of gives it, it has some personality. I'm not hating it. So joke's on you. I'm not hating it, but I'm about halfway.
It looked through. Like a sci-fi channel type of awful CGI.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Acting. I mean, it's yeah. And on IMDb, it has a 2.2 out of 10. So it's bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's horrendously made. But as far as, you know, me having to sit through it, I have seen worse. I've seen movies that I've absolutely hated every second of. So, yeah, I'll have a full report on that shortly once I finish it. But other than that, I haven't seen anything.
Is this the one with Ron Perlman, T.I. and Megan Good?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's got Tom Sizemore and nobody else.
Yeah, because it's like zero budget. Movie making.
Dudley's like, ooh, Megan Good. I need to watch that.
I was like, okay, hold up.
So real quick before we get into The Gray Man, a couple weeks ago, I believe it was with Aaron and Matt. We played a little game called, well, I don't remember what the heck I called it, but the point is I'm going to throw out some movies or trailers or teasers that have kind of been released, news, I guess. And you tell me if you're pumped for it, or you tell me if you're like, eh, whatever, or you tell me if you just pass on that. I'm going to start with the big one, at least in my eyes. They released a teaser trailer to John Wick 4. Has anybody seen that? And if so, what's your reaction to that? Because I was pumped before, and after seeing that trailer, man, I am all in for that movie next year.
I have not seen the trailer, but just knowing that there's a trailer out, I'm pretty jacked because the other three have been fantastic. They're just fun movies to watch. They're the fun
third,
movies to watch.
The third one was okay.
Amazing.
And that's right. Why I'm a little lukewarm. Turn off on your number brain. Four. But it's like, I mean, what are they going to do new at this point? That's why I liked the first Donnie few because they were innovative.
Aaron, did you not know Mark Wahlberg is now John Wick?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, that might be between Mark Wahlberg and Keanu Reeves. Don't. I'm not sure who's got.
Stop it. Don't. Dude,
okay. Shane, come on, Shane, you know it's Mark Wahlberg. Dude.
You saw the trailer, Shane. Did you remember in the John Wick 4 trailer? Like,
yes.
What do you say? Hello, John. Are you back? Are you ready?
Are you ready?
And Keanu just says, yeah. He didn't say
it like that. I will not stand for any Keanu hate. I just won't. So we're moving on because you're wrong. And I just won't stand for it.
I'm sure I'll like it. I'm lukewarm.
The other sort of big one is they released a trailer, teaser trailer, whatever you want to call it, to Wakanda Forever. Has anybody seen that? And what's your thoughts on that?
No, I haven't seen it.
I saw the trailer last night. I'd probably say it's more of a teaser trailer than anything.
Right.
I'm lukewarm. I'll go see it. But I think it's going to be hard to move along without Chadwick Boseman, who was, I mean, he was Black Panther. So
that honestly,
it's gonna be tough.
And we all know, I don't care about the Marvel, but when I saw that, that was the most overrated. I mean, that was Best Picture nominated. Yeah. Yep. And it was grade school CGI.
Yeah,
horrendous. Nice. The rhino things. And then the final battle where they're just two CGI
just weightless terrible. Cartoons fighting each other. Yeah. So, but the trailer, I do like I think it's Ryan Coogler.
Yeah, Ryan Coogler.
I do like him as a director. I really do. I think he's done some great things. The teaser trailer makes it look good. So I'm interested, but I'm skeptical because of, I agree. I think the first Black Panther was just fine. It was just fine.
I agree. And also, like I said, it's going to be hard to see. Shouldn't say hard. It'll be interesting to see where they go without
What they do with it. Yep.
And I was surprised that comes out November of this year.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a this year
movie. I had no idea either. I didn't know, but that one will be interesting. I'll probably watch it. Maybe not in theaters, but who knows? I mean, I guess November, there may not be much more to watch, but
that's true.
The other big one, at least, you know, pulling at the nostalgia strings of my heart, they announced Marvel is coming out with a sequel/continuation animated series called X-Men 97. And it's a sequel to the X-Men animated series of the 90s that I know, at least me, Aaron, I'm assuming Steve, I don't know if Dudley, were you into the X-Men when you were young like we were?
No.
Well, so you won't care about that at all, but you know, it's an animated series. It's hard to get too excited about that, but man, I dug that series when I was
going to bring back that opening sequence with the song that everybody knows.
Man, I hope so. But that one had me excited.
This is the first time hearing of this, and that excites me. That was a really great show.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I dug it. I'll watch that for sure. One last one. And Steve brought this up to us before the episode, so I know Aaron in particular is very excited. Marvel announced they're continuing or bringing back, I don't know what, if it's continuing or rebooting, whatever the case, Daredevil TV series, bringing back the main actor.
It's going to be the same guy.
Right. Charlie Cox. So I'm excited for that personally.
Yeah, me too.
I absolutely love that series. Of all of those Marvel shows, I think that one was the best and the most consistent. So I'm hoping that the tone and the quality carry over from when Netflix had it. Now that Marvel,
I don't know.
It's
going to be a Disney Plus.
Yeah, movie, you never know.
Yeah,
you never know. But if they can continue with the quality of the writing, the aesthetics, the characterizations. I mean, I legitimately love that Netflix show.
Daredevil, I did too.
So I'm hoping that they continue with that quality.
It was the best of the Netflix shows, but for me, I've been a proponent of the MCU since day one. My issue now is I not only have to watch movies to understand what's going on, I have to spend 8 to 10 episodes watch. Like, it's just like,
that's
like, for every movie they come out, there's two TV shows I gotta watch. So
right, and I kind of miss the days when Netflix had those TV series where you could watch those TV series at your own pace, and they were not connected in any way to the movie, so you didn't have to, and they just kind of told their own story. So I don't know if this is going to be that case. I'm sure it's going to be a way for them to shoehorn him into this universe somehow, because that's what they do. But I'm hesitant because it's Marvel, and I know how they just kind of churn out things assembly line like, but I'm excited because I love him in the role. I loved that show, and I'm hoping it can be that good again.
So like watching Doctor Strange the other day or a couple weeks ago, if you don't watch Scarlet Witch, I mean, you might not know what's going on with.
So it's hard to
getting to a point where it's a lot to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. So any movie news or trailers or anything that anybody else saw they want to bring up, or are we ready to hop into The Gray Man?
Real quick, have any of you seen the trailer for that Beast movie with Idris Elba?
Yes.
Dude, he fist fights a big ass lion.
Definitely.
I mean, what's going on in the world today with these movies that are coming out?
Okay, but hear me out. Idris Elba fist fights a lion. See, it's all in how you say it, because you said it like,
that's true.
Hell, and I was saying that's it like, true. Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You just got to flip that switch in your brain, Aaron, and just buy in.
Aaron didn't have me interested. Shane?
Yeah. Right. It's all in how you present it.
Just added it to my watch list.
I mean, listen, if I was a producer and I had people coming in and they were pitching things, a guy just walks in and be like, here's my story so far. It's not done. The script's not done. Here's what I've got. Idris Elba fist fights a lion. How much money do you need?
That's done. The script. It is done.
Yeah.
They just wing it in production.
Like, right. And just, I
whatever would, happens, 100%, man, we'll add it.
Like, here's your blank check. Do what you got to do.
I mean, I'm all aboard. I will watch it because I watch Idris Elba do anything, but...
Yeah, but if you're going to watch him do anything specifically, it might as well be fist fighting a lion.
Sure, sure.
Definitely. So let's get into The Gray Man then. This is Steve's pick. So we're doing The Gray Man 2022, a Netflix movie classified as an action thriller on IMDb, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. Obviously, most well known for directing You, Me, and Dupree. They've also, I guess, directed Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War, Avengers, Infinity War, Avengers, Endgame. These are Aaron's favorite directors, right? They have to be number one on the list of all time.
I respect what they, I was excited about this. I told you when we did our little session about whether we're pumped or not, this is the one I was excited about because I know they're good. I just want to see what they're doing outside of the Marvel universe, because even in shows like, what did we talk about? Community, I think, is the one they did.
Yeah, they've done a lot of TV credits I didn't give them credit for. But
just a goofball show, and yet the action sequences are so fun. But outside of the Marvel universe, I don't know, man.
So they did Everywhere All at Once, right? Everything Everywhere All at Once too?
No, that's different brothers.
Really?
I don't know.
They're not even brothers. It's just two dudes that work together, the guys that did that. One is something... Kwan, I don't remember their names, but yeah, different guys.
Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheiner.
You were close though, Dudley.
I swear this list I was just looking at had them as a part of it.
Maybe they producers. Possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
But so as I'm watching a movie, I tend to write things down. And one of the things I write down is like staples, something that's present throughout different directors' movies. If I've seen a lot of their movies, it's something that creates their identity, I guess, if you will. And the only two things that I could come up with for the Russo brothers, and I'm like Aaron, I like them. They're fine, but I don't know that they have their identity to me, at least right now, is that they make well-made blockbuster movies that have mass appeal, that can be sold and appeal to the widest audience possible and make the studio the most money possible. And that seems that I wrote two things down for them: mass appeal and studio directors, where they're directors for now Marvel.
They're Michael Bay with more talent.
For them, I can't blame them, but even they're making a crap ton of money.
But even Michael Bay, that's my point, is even Michael Bay has his identity stamped mm-hmm. all over. Whether you like that identity or not, it's very, very evident that his personality is shining through in his movies. These guys make very safe, wide appealing movies where it's just, it feels like every decision is made to just appeal to the most people, make the most amount of money, don't step on any toes, and just, like I said, it's just big budget production movies. And I'm not hating on them for it. It's just like, I'm like Aaron, I kind of wish they would make more outside of that universe, that feeling.
So while I agree with you guys, I'd say for me, their identity comes out more in their action scenes and their cuts, their camera cuts inside of those action scenes. Because if you go look at like all the Marvel movies and this, yeah. a lot of the action scenes look very similar.
And yes, and you're right. And like I said, they, when it comes to blockbusters, they do it very well. There's no yes. doubt about that. I just wish they would, like, even we'll get into my feelings along that more, because it pertains to this movie especially. But I just wanted to bring that up and see what you guys thought of it. But we'll move on to the rest of the cast. It's as for the writers, this is based on a series of novels by Mark Greene. The writers of this screenplay are Christopher Marcus, whose credits include, my thoughts on the director mirror this guy, because his credits include the 3 Chronicles of Narnia movies, Captain America, the First Avenger, Thor, Dark World, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War, Avengers, Infinity War, Avengers, Endgame. All of these just blockbuster appeal to the masses type of movies, where it's just this kind of the blockbuster formula. And I could feel that throughout this movie. But moving on, the second writer is Stephen McFeely, who wrote all of those same movies with Christopher Marcus. So they work together, much like the Russo brothers. And getting into the cast, we've got Ryan Gosling, first and foremost, as Six. He's probably best known as a member of the Mickey Mouse Club. We've got Chris Evans playing Lloyd Hansen, Ana de Armas playing Danny Miranda, Billy Bob Thornton, Julia Butters as this child. She had a prominent role. Reggae Jean Page as Carmichael, and then brief appearances from Alfred Woodard as a retired agent, Danush as a kind of bad guy, very brief but badass performance, Shea Whigham in the briefest of appearances as Six's father. And if anybody's seen Narcos, the main character from that, Wagner Moura, plays, I don't know, some weird ID maker guy that he plays a prominent role. You'd recognize him if you saw him. Moving on.
Why? I mean, I don't know. You said briefest of appearance from Shea Whigham. Why even bother getting somebody like Shea Whigham?
I don't know.
Or did he have more that got cut?
I mean, that's very possible.
This is a planned franchise of movies. Maybe that could be more backstory. Be well. I don't know.
I had the same thought. He's too good for that.
Yeah.
Why? Why do that? I mean, he's a great character actor, but I don't know.
Reading that this is the first multi-movie franchise that Ryan Gosling has ever signed on to do. He's been asked to do a bunch of superhero stuff, and he's turned it all down. and then he chose to do multiple movies with this.
And we'll see if that happens, and we'll give our thoughts on that later as we get towards our ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of ratings, let's go over the critics, the numbers as it pertains to this movie. Rotten Tomatoes, the critics give it a 50%, giving a 5.6 out of 10, with a consensus that The Gray Man has the star-studded outline of an entertaining action thriller, but it's filled in with lukewarm leftovers from far better films. The audience is much, much higher, giving it a 90% and an 8.8 out of 10. So 3.2 out of 10, 3.2 points higher than the critics. That's crazy. IMDb gives it a 6.6 out of 10. So that's the breakdown. That's the numbers. To give it a short synopsis before we hop into this, essentially, Ryan Gosling works as an assassin for this agency, and basically they're trying to retire him or kill him, and he comes across this item that they want that potentially would cast a bad shadow on this leader. And so it's basically a cat and mouse game between him and Chris Evans is what it boils down to, with some details here and there. The little girl becomes a hostage, so they fill in the details, but that's essentially what it is. Chris Evans trying to kill Ryan Gosling. That's what it boils down to. All right, so Steve, you picked this. Give us your first thoughts, and then we'll go around for all of us.
Yeah, I picked it. I just wanted to pick something new, something 2022, get us on the board. I enjoyed this movie. I thought there was some issues with some of the camera work, a little over the top acting from a certain someone.
Yeah.
But other than that, I enjoyed the movie.
All right, Dudley, what did you think?
I feel like I'm probably going to be on the higher end than you guys in this. I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. And maybe to your guys' points, the directors know how to hit the masses, and I might be one of those masses. I don't know. But I thoroughly enjoyed the pace of the movie. I liked a lot of things about it. I can't agree with a little bit of the overacting, but I thought storyline, pace of the movie, writing of the movie as a whole, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Now, don't get me wrong, Dudley, I'm still going to give it a good score.
Okay.
I had some issues with it.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Aaron, go ahead.
I had a blast. I loved it. I watched it with my wife. She loved it too. I mean, if we're talking about overacting, are we talking about
Chris Evans? We'll just say it. We're all going to say Chris Evans. Yeah.
Chris definitely. Evans.
Whether that's overacting or how he was supposed to be. It's a character based on a character written in a novel. Maybe it's the same. I didn't read the books, but I don't care. I mean, when you have a, I loved it.
I did too.
Okay.
And the fact that he is so over the top and crazy, like when it gets to the final battle, I mean, come on. Were you not super pumped when they both threw down their weapons?
Some of his one-liners were pretty good though.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, I agree. It was over the top. I think that was intentional. So yeah, maybe overacting isn't the right word, but the character shtick did get a little annoying at times, but he's supposed to be. I mean, everybody hated him and he didn't give a crap. So I guess I can't hold that against him too much. I also did enjoy a lot of things about it. I would have preferred a less safe approach to the material.
I want
to
hear you say you love Ryan Gosling. You were wrong. He was very good in it.
Here's the thing.
Say it.
A lot of the reasons I did enjoy this movie were Ryan Gosling. I still I wish he would do more approachable movies like this and less of, you know.
Shane's favorite scene in the movie was when Ryan Gosling had his shirt off.
I mean, he was jacked, right?
Is that all of ours?
Dude is jacked, man. Yeah, holy cow.
He was ripped in this one. But yeah, I really liked Ryan Gosling in it. Chris Evans was fine. It had a lot of good action moments where I was pumped. Like when those moments came and I knew they were coming and they did come and it was, I was excited. I was pumped. There were some really, really good moments, but there was also some issues with the story that it just felt very safe, very somewhat generic because it was trying to be to appeal to this wide audience. And I wish it would have been, had a more edgier feel to it, but I didn't have any major, major issues with it. But let's go ahead.
I mean, edgier. It's trying to stand out, create a franchise standing apart from all. This is not an original idea. I mean, you got the Bourne movies, which looking back at are terribly made, but fine, whatever. You have the James Bond movies, which are now heading in a new direction after the Daniel Craig era. You've got Mission Impossible. I mean, this is not a new thing, and they have to stand apart. And I think they, with their tone and feel, I think it is its own thing. If it was too serious, it would be Mission Impossible.
Yes, and I didn't mind some of the humor. I guess my main issue is this felt like a movie trying to be a franchise. It didn't feel like an individual story. It felt like every single aspect of this movie was intended. I kept going back as I'm writing, is that every piece of this movie felt like it was intended to appeal to the widest audience, to be the safest, just most, it just felt generic at times to me. And it didn't really have that it factor. This was a very enjoyable movie and it was a good movie. And if there were more movies in this franchise, I will watch them, but this is not a movie that sticks out to me as being exceptional in any way. It didn't stick out to me as having its own, like you said, it didn't separate itself from the generic spy thrillers, other than it had an amazing cast, some well-known directors, and a big budget, and it was released by Netflix. Other than that, it didn't really have its own thing going for it.
I'm going to just, on my side, slightly disagree with that a little bit, only because I didn't go in. I went into the movie, which I love to do, knowing nothing about it. I didn't even know who was in it. You guys said Gray Man. I waited till it came out. And then I went and watched it, and then I'm like, oh, okay, these are who's in it. So I love it. I had no clue there was a franchise going to be thought about it, anything like that. So at the end of the movie, until now, I didn't know anything about that. And then at the end of the movie, I'm like, okay, this to me was a solid movie. I didn't feel like it was. I didn't even know that there was going to be a franchise about it.
Neither did I. By the way, I thought as a standalone movie, it worked well. Which,
yeah.
I guess, I don't know. Spoilers ahead. We're going to get into this. But toward the end, when they are fighting, there's a real sense, because I didn't know it was going to be a franchise, there was a real sense that your main character might not make it out alive.
And I agree with that. So this just felt very much, I'm not talking about the directing style. I'm not talking about the cut and editing, because I'm going to make comparisons here that, as far as the visual style of the action, it didn't match these, but of the feel of the entire movie, it felt to me very much like a Fast and Furious movie or the, like those Michael Bay Ninja Turtles movies, or it felt like a blockbuster movie, just checking boxes to me. Now there were details and there were performances and there were specific scenes that did provide some characterization to those generic checked boxes. A lot of that, like I said, was on Ryan Gosling. But other than that, it felt very much like Hobbs and Shaw, just one of those action blockbuster movies that is just, it comes out, it makes a boatload of money, and then it's forgotten about. It was fine. You said the word, Dudley, solid. And I am 100% on board with that. This is a very solid, solid movie. But it doesn't elevate itself to something that's going to be memorable to me. Let's get into the performances. I mean, these are two huge stars, Chris Evans, Ryan Gosling. I think that's part of the appeal. And I'll throw in Ana de Armas in there, because her stock is rising. I mean, she is just, and for good reason. She's fantastic. I have not seen her in a movie that I didn't think she was great in. I did not like her character in Deep Water, but I thought she was fantastic in it. And all three of them, I thought, well, I shouldn't say that, because I didn't particularly like Chris Evans, but the other two I thought were great. What did you guys think?
Yeah, Chris Evans, I think, probably miscast. I mean, he's the Russo brothers guy from Captain America. He was fine. I it's one of those where it's like, I don't know, you remake this movie without Ryan Gosling, I don't think it works as well. You make this movie without Chris Evans, it might be better. It could be the same. Who knows? I don't know. But it wasn't, I mean, he's got the at least the physicality for it. And I don't know. He to me, he seemed like you can't really shed the Captain America persona so easily. So when you see Chris Evans trying to play something on like the complete opposite end of that spectrum, like from ultimate Boy Scout to this villain, it's tough to buy into. And the fact that it was basically just one big cheesy gimmick of a villain, but
it was. And that's my main issue, is that it didn't feel like a real person. He felt like a cartoon in a real world to me. And that was my biggest issue.
Yeah. With Chris Evans, I agree that if you cast somebody else, it wouldn't really change the movie. While I enjoyed him as the character, I thought the character was a little over the top. I don't know if it's necessarily what they wanted, or if that's what they wanted, I guess then you have a cheesy villain. Ryan Gosling was fantastic in this. I've pretty much seen all of his movies except for that. Was it Where the Pine Trees Are, or whatever that one was?
Yeah. Beyond. Yeah. Yeah. What the hell was that one called? Place Beyond the Pines.
Is that yeah, that's where it was. And so I've seen he's got a wide ranging skill for acting.
Thank you. Can we talk about how?
No, we can't.
That goes from The Notebook and
everybody.
What do you want?
Refers him to that video.
What do you want?
Ryan Gosling's acting range video.
Why does he not want to eat cereal? That's what I'm asking. I mean,
he gets a bad rap. He's a good actor, and he does many different things. He's not.
I loved him in this. He was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
Ana de Armas, she played her character.
Yeah. Yep, that's about what you can say.
and then I want to go into the FBI. Was it FBI, CIA,
whatever? The CIA villains were, they were
the dude. They were horrendous. The dude was terrible. Like, he's a villain. You need to kill him. Like, it was just too dumb for me.
They were not. In fact, I don't think we needed them, other than the story kind of involved them in some way, and they were trying to cover their tracks so they weren't exposed, and that was what kind of set this in motion. But I feel like this movie could have been simpler. I mean, it could have boiled down to Chris Evans against Ryan Gosling with Ana de Armas thrown in the middle of it. It could have been We didn't need the multiple scenes cutting to these CIA goons that are just clowns. I didn't need that. I needed none of that.
While I like this movie, I believe it could have been shorter, because this movie is what? It's 220. And
That's Ryan in my Gosling, notes as well. Too
he
long.
Gets to the house to get the girl with 35 minutes left in the movie. And you're like, oh, spoiler, Fitzroy dies. And there's like 28 minutes. You're like, holy crap, there's a lot left in this movie.
Yeah.
I think it could have been a lot shorter.
And going on to the storyline, I think, like I said, you cut those two CIA people out. They kept referring to this guy at the top, or the I don't
know. Which I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah. So, but just have that as the man pulling the strings, and have Chris Evans just following orders. And that's it. We don't need the constant scenes with those other two CIA people that are trying to cover their tracks. I don't need that. That there is 20 minutes out of the movie easy. And then it's just streamlined. It's Chris Evans. It's Ryan Gosling. It's Ana de Armas. And you've got the Billy Bob Thornton and Julia Butters, the young girl, to provide that emotional depth that it needs. And that's it. That's the simplicity of it. That's all you needed.
That actually totally makes sense now that you say franchise, because the old man, I didn't even think about that until now. We'd never find out who that is.
Yep.
Yeah. And then
that'd be a later thing.
Yep. And then at the ending, where the one CIA agent lady basically like thinks she's the shit now.
So, right. Like, yeah. Now she's. Into, yeah. It's.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely setting it
that
up.
That makes
for,
sense.
For people. And so, but I actually want to get back to Ryan Gosling, because I have been on record saying that he's a very wooden actor. And a lot of that is just...
he's a plank of wood.
Yeah, yeah, I did definitely compare him to Plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy.
I don't get it, man. I never have. I've always been on it.
In fact, if I remember correctly, I said Plank is more emotive. But that's why I want to bring this up. When he decides to, I think he can bring some subtle nuances to the role. And I think he did that here because this is an understated role, no doubt. This is a guy that has basically been trained and taught to not feel emotions or pain at times. However, I think a lot of my favorite points in this movie are just his reactions to things. And a lot of it is kind of an understated humor to it. A lot of it is just him, he's a badass. But it all of those little subtleties just create this human out of a guy that the little girl even called him a robot or Mr. Machine or whatever the hell. Yep. But he did.
I mean, it's so sappy, but it worked.
Yeah. But I'm talking about
the flashback with the just another Thursday thing.
Yeah.
The moments that got me though were like when Chris Evans pepper sprayed him in the face and his response is just, oh, come on, man. Like, you know, it's just like this exasperation of, that wasn't necessary type of deal, or you know, he'll get stabbed and it's just
the best is when it's a completely silent reaction when after the whole destroying a city block with a runaway train and everything's getting blown up, he just stands there frustrated and angry and like he's about ready to throw a tantrum and then just walks away. It's just, I don't know, it's a fun character.
It's to me it was a toned down, more competent, more badass version of his nice guy's character, where his reactions are the comedic cues, I guess. And I don't want to say that I don't want to overblow the comedic aspects of it, because it's not laugh out loud funny, but it just gives him some humanity, it gives him personality, and he did a very, very good job of doing that in a subtle way and not making it cartoony. That's And maybe that's why I had issues with Chris Evans, because you compare their two performances where one makes his character a human being, a living, breathing, complex character, and the other one is just kind of a cartoon. And they both worked in their own way, but I much, much preferred Ryan Gosling.
I know we give child actors flack here for obvious reasons, but I think some of the best scenes with Ryan Gosling... Good.
Yeah,
are with Agreed. The little girl.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
She opens him up a little bit. You can see some range in there. Definitely enjoyed the scenes where they were together.
I agree.
Yeah, 100%. And I also want to go back around to Ana de Armas. I thought while her character wasn't complex or as deep as Ryan Gosling's, mm-hmm. I thought she did great. She was completely believable. She was badass. She did everything correctly, and I thought she was wonderful in it.
She just got thrown around the whole movie, which I'm fine with, because that's what would happen when you're a 100-pound woman trying to fight.
But she was still completely capable. She was still completely.
I mean, how many times does she get thrown into a wall or a table or something?
But that's. I mean, it was.
I said I'm fine because it should happen that way.
But she was in it though, and she was still competent. She was not just like this damsel. She was not just. In the way she saved him multiple times, she was still assertive and badass and believable in that role. And she pulled it off well. I was impressed, but I mean, I knew she could because she stole the movie in No Time to Die. She was badass in that one too.
Yeah.
So I want to see more Ana de Armas in action movies. I'm all for that.
Yeah. I like her a lot.
Let's get away from performances, unless anybody has something else to add. We've touched briefly on the story. Are there any specifics of the story that you want to touch on that you didn't like, that you did appreciate? Dudley, you're nodding your head. You go ahead.
So just kind of speaking of Ana de Armas, I just don't know if I fully like the way that she gets involved in the rest of the movie, to where like she barely knew Ryan Gosling. They were on that first mission together. She's like, I literally met him in Bangkok. And then all of a sudden the FBI agent or whatever, he thinks he's it is like interrogating her. It's like, where is he?
I agree like, completely.
I literally just
and met. Even that. So that part isn't even the part that bothered me because yeah, he's gonna ask, and she's her response is correct. Like, why? How the hell should I know? I don't know the guy. But that didn't bother me because I was all that's maybe how they would act. The part that bugged me is that she involves herself further in order to kidnap him to be like, you're going to tell him I don't know you. That's and even he addresses it like, why the hell would they believe me? What are you, like, what is your plan here? Like, that didn't make any sense at all. I had that thought. And I guess at least they addressed it in the dialogue because he's like, why would they take any stock into what I say?
She kidnapped him for her career. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
That didn't make any sense at all. That bugged me too. I had the same thought. That was just them getting her involved and having her in the action pieces.
For sure. I thought they could have done it a million ways better, but, you know, whatever. Career's important.
One of my favorite scenes in this movie was the train scene when they're going through that. It was interesting to see a smart assassin or whatever he wants to be, because there's times where the guy's on the roof and he's looking at the mirror or the windows
to see where this guy is. I love that shot,
like,
man.
That shot was fantastic. And it was just some scenes like that you don't really see in movies.
Well, and the way it was shown too. I mean, it's literally just showing him staring at the building. And you're like, what's going on? And then it's not like show him, cut to the building, cut to the dude in the train, cut to, like, it just shows it and it happens and it's done.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of just be smart, let it happen filmmaking.
I appreciated that and the creativity of the action as far as showing that he's not only physically capable badass, but he's also had training. He's not just, you know, this brute force. He's not a hammer. He's smart. The way he escapes when he's in the I guess dungeon type area, the pit area, the way he gets out of there, the way he approaches every situation is he formulates a plan and he thinks his way through these things instead of just brute force. He does do some brute force, but there's also little instances like that one that you brought up where he's got a plan. He's smart. He's not just out here. It shows a lot more of his thought process than say something like John Wick, which I absolutely love, but he just shoots his way out of things. This guy has formulates at least a little bit more of a plan. It gets a little more creative in the thought process behind the action scenes, and I appreciate that.
Definitely. Talking about not favorite scenes, but just I just want to say the fight scenes throughout. I mean, that's literally what this movie is, a vehicle to get from one fight scene to the other. They're advertised, you know it's coming, and you know when things are going to go down, but it works. I mean, the fight scenes are really well done. I don't know if it's a stunt double at times, but the actors, for the most part, didn't look like actors trying to play fighters. It looked like it was natural.
While I loved the fight scenes in this movie, I think the camera work could have been a little better. It seemed like for some of the fight scenes where it's just two guys fighting each other, the camera was way too close to the action where you're like,
you see,
sometimes you're seeing shoulders.
I agree in some instances. The one in particular that I did not like was, I shouldn't say didn't like, because I liked almost every action scene. There were aspects of them I didn't like, and it was certain shots at the beginning. Actually, all my issues were at the beginning, mostly when they're in the building and Ana de Armas and Gosling are fighting people in the building and they're doing those drone shots that's gliding through. Yes. Didn't like those. A lot of editing in those scenes in particular were a little choppy, but not choppy or shaky to the point where I couldn't comprehend what was going on. Just a little too close, I agree. And the drone shots really, really bugged me. I mean, there was a shot when they were fighting. First of all, brilliant setup for an action scene, fighting in between these huge firework cannons, tubes. Oh, yeah. That's just a brilliant visual. It's a brilliant concept. I loved every aspect of that, except they kept doing over the top drone scenes and you couldn't see a damn thing because it's covered in smoke and there's fireworks exploding. Just visually, that was not great. So I do agree with some aspects of what Steve's saying.
But otherwise, I mean, I thought the fight between, first of all, I appreciate that when I can't remember his name,
Danush.
Danush was playing. Yeah. It was a two-on-one. Ana de Armas and Ryan Gosling's character. And instead of the usual movie trope of make it, you know, choppy editing to make it look like it's two-on-one, but really they're just coming at him one at a time. It was legitimately like two-on-one, and he just beat their ass.
The action choreography.
Even they said they were like,
quick question. Go first? Is he a martial artist?
I don't know. He's a singer. He's an actor. I have not seen him in anything. I tried to look into it because that dude stood out in this movie.
He was good.
He stole this movie, man. He was badass.
A Bollywood star?
He must be.
I've not seen any of his stuff.
57 credits.
Yes, and I know he's also a singer. But I had never heard of him. I have no idea. I'm definitely going to look more into him because, man, he was just awesome in this. Every part of him was awesome. The physicality, just the way he carried his character, fantastic. And while we're on the topic of action, it was silly as hell, but somebody mentioned earlier that I probably, you know, was getting my rocks off on the action stuff in here. There was one moment in particular, and I know it's a trope and it's stupid and it makes no sense logically, but one of my favorite action movie tropes is when the good guy could just straight up kill the bad guy and they say, nope, I'm throwing my gun. We're not killing him easy. We're going to have a one-on-one fight instead. Uh-huh. And it lived as soon as he did that, where he was like, no, forget taking the shot. Cause Ana de Armas could have easily sniped Chris Evans. And he said, no, forget that. It's one-on-one. It's man-on-man at this point. And I love that trope in action movies. I loved it here. And that fight did not disappoint.
Although, what about the ending of that fight?
Yeah, so that was a little disappointing. That was at 100%. Yeah, because it was.
I don't care about it. He was dying either way. Let that FBI agent get her.
No, let Ryan Gosling do it out of pure anger for touching that girl. I mean, because that's what that whole scene was about. That's why he gets into that fight in the first place, is because Chris Evans crossed the line. He has no qualms against Chris Evans other than he touched this girl that he cares about. And so,
for her to do that is to extend the franchise.
Yeah, because she's got to be in.
That makes sense.
She should have been out of the movie entirely. Yeah, 1,000%. I agree.
One of the best scenes in that fight scene that I found myself chuckling is Chris Evans had the burn on his back and gets thrown into the water and he goes, ow, that hurt.
A lot of the comedy in this worked because it wasn't. I mean, I could see it, a human could react like that. I mean, but it wasn't so over the top and silly that it took you out of the moment. But it worked. I enjoyed a lot of those aspects of it.
The girl shot a firework gun at him, dude. Yeah. Whatever you call that thing, flare gun. Flare gun. Thank you. Oh, dude.
Yeah, and blew off his fingers. Yeah, or even that comedy line of Ryan Gosling, where he just says it straight face, but you know it's just like goading him, is you missing your fingers.
Because it follows he was trying to punch him and he headbutted his fist, knowing his fingers were gone.
Yeah.
Like, damn it.
So a lot of the comedy I did appreciate it. It was subtle comedy. It wasn't like clown comedy like you get in a lot of blockbuster type movies like this. But I don't.
And they did pull off the one-liners were good. And it's expected in an action movie like this, but just the hero building of Ryan Gosling's character. I mean, we talk about the legend building from John Wick, but this was a little different. They did the same type of thing, but the moment it all came together is when they're, you know, you think you're getting this whole like head on assault of this building. And really it's just Ana de Armas playing a decoy. And then Gosling just opens the door and winks at them. Like, he didn't do it. It wasn't him charging and blowing everybody up. He just snuck in and comes to the door and winks at them and walks out. I mean, it's so good.
Yeah, he did great. He did great. It was a more subtle performance than I thought he was capable of. I'll give him that. We're kind of up against the clock. So let's start. Steve, you picked it first or last?
I'll go last.
All right. Dudley, you start us off then.
All right. Starting off, again, really loved the movie. Thought it was it's Dan. really thought it was good, well done. In most cases, the things that we had some issue with, some of the characters that stayed in, the parts they played, I think, did diminish this a little bit. Chris Evans' character as a whole, to that cartoony, I think, affects it a little bit. So could have possibly been higher, but I'm going to go with a strong 8.5. I liked it a lot.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that. I'm following that up. I had some issues with the overall feel of it and the fact that it feels like it was, instead of building the movie around its own identity, it was built around this intent for a franchise, and that's very evident, at least it was to me. But the movie itself, the details, the characters, Ryan Gosling especially, I love performances in action movies, and I always say they don't get enough credit or love or recognition. This is another one. He's not going to get recognition for this, but I think it's an amazing, amazing performance. I'm only slightly lower than you. I'm giving it an 8.25.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on board. I've been a supporter of Gosling. You guys say he's a plank, but I think subtle. He's so good at subtle. I mean, the Blade Runner.
No, it was not subtle. That was just plain wooden.
No, it was not. Not absolutely not. In the Apollo movie, the Neil Armstrong, he was so good in that subtlety.
Still haven't seen it.
There you go. Loved
him in The Notebook.
Yeah. Loved him in The Notebook. I don't know. I mean, actually lower than you guys. Action's not my thing, but this is one I could get behind a franchise for because of Ryan Gosling mostly. And the action scenes were, I mean, it's entertaining as hell. And the action scenes were fantastic. So I'm at an 8.
All right, Steve, to you then.
So I've been kind of trying to figure my score out since Friday after watching this. I feel like the score would have been higher, honestly, if they were just doing one movie, cut out some of the CIA stuff, whatever, have it at that. But can't do that. That's what they're doing.
Or even
I really enjoyed this.
Sorry, go ahead and then I'll follow up. I'm sorry.
Ryan Gosling, as we've said, was fantastic in this. While at times Chris Evans was over the top, his character, probably what this movie needed. I really enjoyed this. As of now, this movie is going to be in my top 10 for the year. I'm giving it 8.5.
Nice.
Okay.
By the way, it is number 5 for me so far. I mean, it might slip down with movies.
I think it's 4 or 5 for me.
So that gives us an average of 8.31, which is a B+. I don't hate that. I did want to follow up and give one last thought on the franchise aspect of it. And I feel like it all comes down to the feel of it, because you think of a movie like the John Wick movies, for instance. Those were 100% intended to establish a franchise, maybe not the first one, but since then, but they still feel like individual stories and individual movies. Whereas this just kind of, it felt too planned out for me for the future. It felt like when I'm watching a Marvel movie and it feels like they're just establishing things for future movies. There was too much of that in this. And I hope there's more of these. And I hope if there are more, they focus more on just being an individual movie within a franchise rather than a piece of a franchise as a whole, if that makes sense. So I guess, like I said, 8.8, what did I say? 3 something. I don't know what the hell.
8.31.
It's a B+. And I like that. I like that score. Aaron, pull up a this or that if you've got it.
Got a few. This or Atomic Blonde, another action movie. I go this.
The action in that is more impressive. This is a better movie and more rewatchable. I'll pick this.
Dudley, have you seen Atomic Blonde?
No.
Oh, you should. That's got one of the best
Atomic Blonde
scenes of all time for
the action. The action is mind-blowing. The movie that surrounds the action,
cool. This or Open Range?
The Open Western. Range.
I go Open Range.
Yeah, man. Man, I love that movie.
Open Range.
Yeah. This or The Thing? I go The Thing.
The Thing all day. The Thing's hard to beat for me. That might be in my top 10 of all time.
Yeah.
Lastly, this is not even close for me. This or Unbreakable, and it's Unbreakable for that's a top 5 movie of all time.
Unbreakable.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a Bruce's performance, man. That's so good for me. All right.
Anyway, that's the one with Mark Wahlberg where he. Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Yeah.
How is that movie called?
Invincible.
Invincible, yeah.
That's the performance Aaron was getting at. That's what he was talking about.
Aaron. your selection is next week. Do you have a movie picked already?
I don't. I have some ideas. I don't know for sure yet. I'll let you know.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, in the meantime, that ends this show. If you'd like to hear our thoughts on a specific movie, you can request a movie right there on our website, moviereviewcrew.com. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media, including Letterboxd. Just search for the Movie Review Crew. Let us know your thoughts on this one, where we were right, where we were wrong. Let us know what you want to hear going forward. Just hit us up. Let us give us some feedback. If there's nothing else, gentlemen, somebody in the show.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Yeah, definitely. When I say somebody in the show, then somebody is then supposed to end the show.
Aaron's the one that
you. I was muted. My child was.
I got scared. Screaming. I didn't know what to say.
Look at this. I'm sweating because of that.
let's try this again. Here we go. Here we go.
Like that.
Okay. Let's try this again. Everybody ready? We're gonna be professional. We're gonna be good at this. Somebody in the show.
Affleisha.
Perfect.
Let's go, but inconspicuously through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Where are you guys? I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night and good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.